to Manners and Madness, a Jane Austen and David Lynch podcast. My name is Maya Adkins.
And I'm Christian Cabrera. And today we are doing a post-Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas holiday touchstone with a little bit of Bridget Jones' Diary 2 thrown in. Yes.
A little bit of Bridget Jones. We thought originally we were going to do all Bridget Jones, but we were like, let's, you know, maybe talk about some other stuff too,
because yeah.
We weren't familiar with the movie.
Yeah, and you know, it's a early 2000s sequel, so do with that information with what you will.
And honestly, it does not have much Christmas in it. Most of it takes place really in Thailand.
Yeah, very beachy. And I was like, I want Christmas, I want snow, I want trees and lights.
Yeah, I thought it would have a little more Christmas, but it did start and end with Christmas, so
that's true.
A tiny bit. But before we get to Bridget Jones, let's just catch up, because honestly, we did do Return to Oz a couple weeks ago, but we haven't done a lot of podcasting this for the past month or two, because we've just been really busy, and it's been holidays.
Lots of traveling.
And you know we love to talk about our food and what we ate, so I think we should definitely talk about how our Thanksgivings were.
Yeah.
And I want to hear about yours, because you went to three different Thanksgivings?
I just went to two this year.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I would say both were amazing, food-wise. I've never really been a big Thanksgiving person. Christmas is always my prime. So Thanksgiving, it's kind of mostly been about like, oh, we just get to eat a lot more food. I went to, my first Thanksgiving was a sort of like that weird like holiday eating time where it's like not quite lunchtime, but it's definitely after breakfast time. So,
like a brunch?
Yeah, kind of. It usually is like around 11 or 11:30 when we start eating.
Wow, that's an ambitious Thanksgiving. To get started that early? How early do you have to get up in the morning?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I do not cook anything. Neither does Josh. We go somewhere where food is cooked, and I get the feeling that they're up very early cooking.
I guess so.
Because there's also quite a lot of food. So, but I would say very delicious, like Southern Thanksgiving was kind of the theme. Is typically the theme for this. We call it the farm Thanksgiving because we go to a farm. And I would say my food highlights from that were the collard greens. They were some of the best collard greens I've ever had.
Nice.
The mac and cheese is like an annual thing that I always look forward to. And
is it baked macaroni and cheese?
Yes, but it's like very like, it's not like dry and crumbly, kind of. It's like stringy, delicious, cheesy,
like even good baked macaroni and cheese should be cheesy and delicious.
Yes, well, you know, sometimes you gotta differentiate, because some people like to put like breadcrumbs on top, and for baked mac and cheese it just dries it out, in my opinion. But but this is really good mac and cheese, and I usually, because we do get to go containers to fill up when we're leaving, because there's so much.
God, I love macaroni and cheese. That was the first thing to go in the leftovers. We had the most leftover, and it went the fastest.
Oh, yeah. I usually fill up half of a container just with mac and cheese to take home. But the turkey was really great. It was like super juicy and very flavorful. What else? Oh, the cranberry sauce, I feel like, is really underrated part of Thanksgiving. Samid Nosrat, who's one of my favorite like chefs, food writers, she always talks about like the importance of cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving, because it's the only like acidic component of Thanksgiving. The rest of it is so heavy and full and like really like filling. So I've always made it a point to be like, I have to try the cranberry sauce, and it's homemade. Nice. And it was so tart and delicious, and just dragged my turkey through it. It was really great.
We only had canned.
That's
which
still
is
pretty
good.
Good.
In a pinch, but it was surprisingly, I was like, I don't think I've had canned in a while. So I was like, wow, it's so sweet. It's like jam, basically.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed too, is because the first one I tried was the canned, and it was good, but it's definitely on the sweeter side. I prefer a little bit more tartness.
Yeah, I think I do too. Maybe next year I'll really try to make a good cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think Simi Nasrat has a recipe for like a cranberry chutney relish kind of thing. Mm. And it's supposed to be really good.
I want like a spicy cranberry sauce.
Mm-hmm. I love
cranberry
that.
Cranberry jalapeno.
That sounds so good. We need to keep an eye out next time we're in the mountains to see if they have any sort of cranberry Ooh. Jalapeno jelly or something.
Definitely.
But stuffing was great, obviously. Gravy, mashed potatoes, the classics. It was super good. And, sweet potato casserole. And I did try something new this year. I tried the lima beans. I've not been a huge lima bean person, and they weren't bad. But I think it's one of those blocks I have, like with peas, where you mm-hmm. can call them sweet peas all you want. They taste bitter to me. And I don't know why. And lima beans are kind of the same way. So I was a little bit disappointed in myself, but what can you do?
Did you like them this time or you didn't?
I did not.
Still, no.
Still not sweet. And good.
I love beans. Like, I love black beans too. And kidney beans. I also kind of have like a, not lima beans, but I was wondering, do I just have a block? Like, are lima beans just the same as any other bean and it's just like a childhood thing? But I've never actually gone out of my way to try them in the recent future, in the recent past.
Recent moments.
But I also don't like peas, green peas.
They weren't as bitter as green peas, I will say. So I don't know. It could just be that I just don't. I didn't dislike them, but they just were not like, it wasn't something that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get more of that. Like, it was just like,
right.
You know,
I'll stick to cannelli beans if I need a white bean.
I'll stick to the millions of other beans that I love.
So. Exactly. I've never had I guess obviously if we're not a lima bean family, we probably never had lima beans at Thanksgiving, but.
They're, I would say, visually, like the, besides peas, they're like the most like visual, like gross, healthy food from a kid's perspective. Like they're like this light green, they're very big and very bean shaped. And so I could see why people, like kids especially, are like, no, thank you.
Well, maybe next time they're around, I'll give them a try.
Yeah, I'll try them again next year and we'll see. And I'll give you my lima bean update, but yeah, so I opted this year for this specific Thanksgiving meal to do 2 plates of savory foods, and I skipped desserts, which is
what
very, very what shocking.
Oh wow! I mean,
the desserts.
I guess we didn't have a huge one, but
yeah, there were. It was no. What's the word I'm looking for? Like no sort of poo-pooing on the desserts. The desserts are always delicious. There's always like some sort of like orange cake thing, or brownies, or pumpkin bars, or banana pudding, that kind of thing. It's very delicious. But I was just so focused on the savory element that I just couldn't go for the sweets this year. And by the time I had 2 plates, I was so full.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's always the problem. Although this year, I have to say, I filled the plate with just the right amount of like a little teeny bit of everything to get to like the point of comfortable fullness, not like I'm gonna pop and I need to take a nap immediately fullness, which yes. I feel like Thanksgiving usually does to me. So I even did have room for pie, but it was later, and we only had chocolate peanut butter pie, which is very light pie.
I love it.
Is at it least like the a, way we make it.
Is it like a freezer pie, or is it like a bake pie?
No, it's a pudding pie. Basically, we make pies. Like a peanut butter and powdered sugar combo. So it's kind of like a crumblies. And you put that in the bottom, and then you put chocolate pudding on top. And this is like in a if you bake just the single pie shell or whatever. And then you put Cool Whip on the top of that with some more sprinkles of peanut butter.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was my favorite pie as a child. And one of the delicious. Few that I could just make without any fuss. And we just made 2 of those, basically. Because it was just my sister's family and me. So we had a pretty small Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I just love those types of pies. I tend to like those type of pies slightly better than a baked pie. Just because I love the coldness of it. It's just so delicious. But that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I loved it. I mean, we ate it so fast when Thanksgiving was done. But can't I love, you. I think I love all pies. I think I love all sweets, except for like super coconutty things. And I don't hate them. I just don't love them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are turned off by the texture of coconut. Yeah. I could totally see that. But but yeah, speaking of coconut, that it was a part of my Thanksgiving dinner that I went to at my mom's house.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about that one, too.
So this one, we didn't have any sort of bird. I think we were a ham family growing up. Like ham at holidays, ham, sliced ham, deli ham for lunches and all that kind of stuff. And then my mom would always every year take the bones of the ham and obviously pieces of the ham and make like a bean soup thingy with it that was delicious. But I've recently come on my journey of becoming older and acquiring new problems. Pork is just something that doesn't sit well with me anymore, which is so disappointing because, like I said earlier, I'm Cuban.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. I'm Cuban. I've eaten pork since I was born, basically. Like, right. It's just a part of my life. So now I have to be very, like, choosy about when I do pork. But so I had just a tiny little bite of ham, but she made this, like, TikTok sweet potato viral thing that was very delicious, had like candied like pecans in it. It was very delicious. Very desserty for dinner. And then we also had what else did we have? There was mac and cheese for sure, delicious.
Every Thanksgiving staple. Especially if there's any kids there, you gotta do macaroni and cheese. Oh,
of course. And then she made green bean casserole. I did not have any because I am not a green bean casserole person. That seems to be a very...
What kind of green bean casserole? With mushrooms?
Yes.
Because my family always did green bean casserole with cheddar cheese soup instead of cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah, she did cream of mushroom.
Which I personally think is the most delicious. But, you know, that is what I grew up with.
You might be a little biased.
Yeah.
But yeah, she made it mainly for my sister because my sister personally requested it. And she did technically, from the month before, she gave birth. So I guess it was like a...
she gets what she wants.
Yeah. So she wanted green bean casserole. That's what she wants. So I was like, you have fun with that. But to me, the star of our family Thanksgivings is always this mushroom rice that my mom makes. And it's a recipe from my great-grandma. It's like in one of those like church booklets that like old ladies would get together and put recipes in from Miami. And it's like this big rice dish that you make with like two sticks of butter, a bunch of cans of consomme, beef consomme, and then a bunch of cans of French onion soup, or you know, if you do it from scratch if you want, and then you put mushrooms in it, and it is like the most delicious like French onion soup rice that you'll ever have, and I just always eat a pound of it.
Sounds delicious.
It's so good. And I've had it since, that's been there since I was like a baby, so it's just like, this is comfort food for me for sure. And then for desserts, my mom's husband made coconut cake, which was very good, but it was covered in little coconut flakes, so if you're not a coconut person, you won't like it. But he made a pumpkin cheesecake cake thingy. It was great. And then he made a tiramisu from scratch. That was really good.
Wow, fancy desserts.
Yeah, he's really good in the kitchen, but it had quite a bit of Grand Marnier in it, so I only had a little bit of it. But it was really great. It was a fun Thanksgiving this year.
And that was an evening?
That was our dinner, so we had to do... Luckily, we did a brunchy, very early kind of thing, so I could have enough time to be like, brace for the meal too. Yes. And then I got to spend time with the baby, which was always great because she's a very cute baby. I may be biased, but
well, I mean, they all are, but well, still.
Sometimes they come out looking a little funky, but you know, they've been inside a cramped body for 9 months, 10 months, so
that's true. But when they start giggling, they're always cute.
Oh yeah, she does this. Yeah, she definitely smiles in her sleep a lot, which is so super cute. And she has very specific hours of when she is cranky, so she at least is on a schedule now.
Yeah, that's nice.
But what about any other food highlights from your Thanksgiving besides the pie?
Yeah, Well, I went to my sister's, and because she went to culinary school, so I was like, I'm going to have a delicious Thanksgiving. But I also was like in the mood to like, you know, contribute a lot. So it was basically me and her did most of it. Although I would say she probably did most of it. But first off, we started by breaking down the turkey because I just saw people doing it and I was like, that is a great idea. So basically we broke down the turkey the night before and made turkey stock with the bits that we didn't want to cook. And that was great because we used that in everything. And so that really upped the flavor ante for the Thanksgiving dinner. And the turkey was so flavorful and moist and delicious. And it only took 2 hours to cook.
That's so fast.
Because we originally were planning on being done around 2, and we were done at like 12:30. So
I think that's kind of a new thing that a lot of people are doing now. Is I think I heard someone else for their Thanksgiving, they spatchcocked a turkey, and it just cooks so much faster.
Yeah, and you can kind of like look at the temperature of all the different pieces because they all need to be a different temperature. And actually, they all do basically cook the same amount of time because of the density and the temperature. But and it was so easy to carve because you just cut the breast into little strips. There's no bones left on it, at least on the breast. So
that's awesome.
And of course we did macaroni and cheese, as I
said. The best.
And mashed potatoes. And I really wanted to do rutabaga, but I don't feel like you can do rutabaga and mashed potatoes. So I think we're going to try to do rutabaga for Christmas.
I think that's a good idea. They are very potato-y. There's like a slight taste. Because I think the first time I had rutabaga was at your house for one of these holidays. Oh, yeah.
And we cook them with potatoes. So that because otherwise it gets really stringy. But
yeah,
so,
then they're a little more earthy, I think, than potatoes. But I kind of like the earthiness.
Oh, I mean, I would rather eat rutabaga than potatoes any day in my life. I can eat rutabaga every day. I love it so much. I don't eat it every day because it's kind of a pain just to like, I mean, it's not that big of a pain, but it's just a lot of work. Kind of a hard thing to like.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a bunch of vegetables. We had Brussels sprouts and green beans and cauliflower. And I made, it was a very trying process. I was certain it would work because I did forget to put the yeast in until the last second. But I made these Claire Saffitz sweet potato dinner rolls.
Oh, yes. I did see those and they looked amazing.
They turned out really great. I think if I had made them actually correctly, they probably would have turned out even greater. But they rose and everything, so
that's good.
It was fine. But I was really worried the entire time I was making them.
I usually am very kind of apprehensive with bread making just because of the process of it is very long because you have to let it rise for certain things, you know. It's I don't have the patience for it just yet. Maybe when I receive certain medication, I will. But those rolls looked so like shiny and buttery and delicious. And I have been on such a huge sweet potato kick lately that I was very tempted to make them.
Yeah. I've been a very big stick vegetables in everything else kick because I just need to be more healthy in general. Right before I left, I made these things that I had been envisioning in my head, pumpkin cardamom blondies. And I would say they probably need at least 3 or 4 more tries to get them to be perfect because they didn't really have the consistency of a blondie to me. And they were very sticky, but they were delicious.
That sounds really good. I really love cardamom. I think it's a...
Me too. It's like my favorite new spice.
Yeah, it's just
baking
like...
baking spice.
A very... like it's like a... almost like grown-up cinnamon. It's very complex. I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, last year I made... well, no, not last year. Just earlier this year for an event, I made cardamom buns, which I always call cardamom bums because it's just easier to say. And it was like a Norwegian twisted type of a bread thingy that turned out so good. And it was just basically like cardamom sugar instead of cinnamon sugar. So it's kind of like a cinnamon roll in a way.
Yum. My favorite.
They were so good. And since then, I'm like... No more pumpkin pie spice. Cinnamon, you can stay if you must, but it's cardamom all the way.
Yes.
Maybe some nutmeg, but no more cloves.
Maya's in her cardamom era.
No allspice. I don't think I like allspice that much.
Sometimes, I think one year I made like these sliced sweet potatoes with a, it's called like a winter spice mix, and it's like a mixture of like allspice, nutmeg, all of them. Sometimes they can just be a little too bitey, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I just love a subtle like hug of spice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think clove and allspice to me can like just kind of take over.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Cardamom is so good though.
Oh, yes. So, well, should we move on from Thanksgiving food talk?
If we must.
I guess.
I could talk about food for hours.
Oh, it's making me hungry.
I know. Me too.
I guess we should talk about Bridget Jones since we watched it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm guessing this was your first time watching it because it was mine.
It was. I don't think I would have suggested it for the podcast if I had seen it before.
That's true.
I mean, the first one, pleasantly surprised by, you know?
Yeah,
I
loved the first one was great.
And this one kind of felt like it was really trying too hard to recapture the magic.
Yeah.
And I found it excruciatingly boring for the first hour. I kept looking at the time and being like, we're only at 30 minutes. We're only at 33 minutes.
Well, it is like, it's an hour and 48, so it's almost 2 hours long, and it does feel like we could cut some of it out. No shit.
Yeah. Plus, I guess I'm just saying all my critiques of it right off the bat, but plus Bridget was completely insane. Like, so many times I was like, is she okay? Does she need some psychological, does she need medication? What is wrong with her?
Yeah, she is a little bit more unhinged in this movie. And it, like, the last movie, it was very much, like, unhinged in, like, a fun, silly way. This one, it was like, I think we're missing very basic, like, just everyday skills.
Yeah, I mean, just common sense, and yet everyone loves her, so.
Oh, Bridget. Yeah, I I thought it was definitely, there are parts of it that I was like, I feel like it could be taken out, and in a way I felt like we were almost rehashing the first movie, like,
yeah,
with the love triangle, and I was just like, I don't want that anymore. I want something new.
Yeah. They definitely were like, there were certain things, especially, I feel like the second half got more interesting, but also more insane, and also a little bit more like just derivative of the first one in certain aspects, but also completely insane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do we want to like do some quick
Should we
notes?
Just start at the beginning kind of and like, oh yeah, let's start with notes because there are a couple interesting things.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. All right, so it was released November 19th of 2004, and it was directed by Beban Kidron, and it was written by...
It was not the same director.
No. You know, based on the novel Bridget Jones, Edge of Reason by Helen Fielding, but the screenplay was written by Adam Brooks, Richard Curtis, and Andrew Davies.
Oh. Not your finest work, Andrew.
No. But basically, I mean, same cast as before. Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth, Hugh Grant, Gemma Jones. You know, kind of our same people that we had in the last movie. We really didn't have much, if any, new people. And then, let's see. I had some Tolivia.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was looking at the... Oh. The reviews and the trivia when I was looking at IMDb, like 20 minutes into the movie, going, okay, let's see what's happening with this movie.
Yeah, there's some interesting trivia. In the book, the character Bridget Jones is kind of like obsessed with Colin Firth's Pride and Prejudice, you know, the miniseries. And in the book, she gets to like meet him and interview him, whatever. And apparently they did film a scene like that where, you know, because Colin Firth is technically a Darcy in this version, but he's in like street clothes and he's being interviewed by Bridget Jones, Renee Zellweger. But it was only in the DVD extras. It's not like in the movie.
It would be a little too meta for him to
yeah.
both Colin Firth in real life and Darcy, Mark Darcy in the movie played by Colin Firth.
It was very much a lot. Let's see.
Can I say what I thought was the most interesting trivia I saw?
Yes. Yes, please do.
Apparently, the original book, which this is apparently also not very close to, like the adaptation is not very close to what the book was, but the book had a persuasion kind of a subplot since the first one was kind of Pride and Prejudice. And the only thing that survived from the book to the movie or to the adaptation, and I think it was very kind of like low key in the book too, but was the character of Binnick, just his name being Binnick. And I think he was a little bit like morose, like the Binnick from Persuasion. But other than that, there's no persuasion in it.
I would have loved a persuasion sort of like undertone of like Bridget being like, well, I thought this was the person, but we can't be together for XYZ. So am I just going to be alone forever? And there was sort of a little bit of that, but it was like more so of her own doing and of her being unhinged.
Yes, she's insane.
Yeah, I think that's kind of really the only interesting stuff. There's not a lot of it. Is just like Hugh Grant is one day older than Colin Firth. Then it's like,
oh god.
Okay, but yeah, I'm more interested in talking about the actual movie.
Yeah, I will say for the reviews, because I made a note that I was finding it pretty boring like 15 minutes in, and that's when I looked up the reviews. And I was like, these reviews are so rude. It makes me want to like this movie more.
Yeah, I tried not, especially like the IMDb reviews. I tried not to go into them because they just will be like, the title of the review will be a spoiler. Or they will just talk about like how it's the worst movie ever because of XYZ. And it's like, I don't think it was that bad.
I mean, there were so many that were just talking about how they were accentuating Renee Zellweger's fatness, and I'm like, are you out of your damn mind? That's the most insulting thing in this movie, is that they consider her fat.
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway, was like, wow, 2004 had a really interesting
she looks body like dysmorphia. A perfectly normal person, a skinny person even.
Yeah, she's like thin, and she's an actress, but they make lots of quote unquote jokes and digs at her for being fat or chunky or whatever. And I was like, okay, I would be very interested to see what people who look like me are called, but okay. Yeah. you got to think about it. It's 2004. It's probably like the height of like, Paris Hilton and all these like supermodels, and that kind of like heroin chic is kind of still a thing. So
yeah,
very thin people.
Definitely.
So
definitely. Okay. Well, we basically start out, it's like 6 weeks after the first movie. And so she's with Darcy, but she's only been with him for 6 weeks. And she is reluctantly jumping out of a plane. The workplace harassment / sexual harassment that goes on in her job is out of control. And it's so played for laughs. Oh, also, okay, so afterwards she goes to the bar with her friends, and there's a woman who starts making her jealous of what she saw with Darcy. That Rebecca. Woman was in Pride and Prejudice 95. She was Bingley's married sister.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, another connection.
I love those connections.
Yeah. Okay, Hugh, so basically I just skipped like 15 minutes of the movie because I was like, there's nothing to write down. Hugh Grant comes back in. He is a real creep. And I was like, I was trying to rack my brain, like, what happened in the first movie? I know I liked it, but I can't really remember. And I mean, I'm sure he was a creep, but he's not any better in this movie.
No, he's like, I think he's been elevated a little bit more to like, oh God, I'm trying to find like a comparison. He's just like, he's like richer now. He's more famous. And he's, I think that gives him more liberty to be kind of like a pig.
Yeah.
And disgusting. So
I said, why is she such a spaz? It's unrealistic spazziness.
Yeah. That was my big thing is like, why is she... It's only been 6 weeks since the first movie. Like, what happened in those 6 weeks to make her like, I don't know. It's like, is her anxiety...
Unable
like,
to function in the world?
Yeah.
Then I wrote, is she mentally unwell? That was 30 minutes in.
Yeah. Was that around the when she was getting ready for their business gala that she was going to or whatever?
Oh, no. This was when... Okay, this was like... That's what I wrote. Is she mentally unwell? When she was having a conversation with his answering machine, but he was talking to her in the front door, and she had to finish her insane rambling conversation before she could talk to a person. I was like, girl, I can't take this. It's really ridiculous.
Yes, it was like, well, I called you to apologize when I didn't think that she needed to apologize because the people, I think this is after the gala, right? Because this is when they have that big fight. And
yes, after the gala, but before the ski vacation.
Yes. And I feel like he was, you know, being Darcy at the gala, being very snobbish. And the people at the gala were, I would say, like, borderline war criminals. They were essentially being like poor, you know, homeless people, people experiencing homeless.
They deserve it.
They choose to experience homeless. It's their own fault. And basically, whatever happens to them that's bad, they deserve it. And she speaks up and makes the comment like, well, if you believe that, like, basically, like, you're a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. And it's like this big scene and everyone is like, so like, oh my God. And it's supposed to be this moment of her being like, whatever, I'm not being around these people anymore. But she like leaves and she's like, well, I feel bad for making a scene. And it's like, why? Who cares about what those people think?
So and she's in the most ridiculous dress that she can't walk in at all.
Yeah, she can't walk in the dress. She goes to get her hair done, and it does look pretty weird for like a formal gala. But her answer for fixing it was to iron it with an iron. Yeah. Well, I don't know why that was the answer instead of just
wash it.
Wash it and leave it normal, but okay.
Oh my god,
I don't know. Very interesting choices.
Yeah. Okay, so they go on a ski vacation, which she has said she knows how to ski, but she doesn't. Her hat looks like one of those pussy hats.
It does. It's kind of like sitting on her head in a way where it kind of like slouches a little bit.
Yeah. I think it had two balls on it.
Oh, really?
And it was pink. She, even though she can't ski, she manages to ski through a race, which she kind of wins, but she probably doesn't technically win because she doesn't do any of the like coursework that you're supposed to do. She skis straight into a pharmacy where she can't speak the language, and because on this ski trip down the hill, she's decided that maybe she's pregnant, and so hilarity ensues.
Yeah. It's been 8 weeks since her last period, and she's just now realizing. It feels like a lot longer. I mean, you know, I know periods can vary in when they come and how long they last, but it does feel like you would notice, I feel like, if it's been abnormally long.
They were cute for like about 2 seconds when she told him, or when he realized that she may be pregnant, but that quickly devolved. And
of course,
that's when I wrote, please get fun movie. And then I wrote, they broke up.
What you want is going to be the opposite of what happened.
Yeah. So Hugh Grant comes back on the scene, who, as I said earlier, is a creep, but he's definitely a Me Too nightmare.
Yeah. He's definitely like, he's done a lot of bad stuff. And so has her boss.
Yeah, I think he basically manipulates her work into making her work with him.
Yeah, because they want like a female perspective on this travel show. Because he's like a... I hesitate to say he's like an Anthony Bourdain type because Anthony Bourdain was so like singular, but he's like, he has a travel show where he goes to these places. And it seems like they split it up where everything that he does is so like sexy. And he's all about the sexy parts of these countries. And right. She's all about the food because she's fat, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Well, it's like he's a travel person and his whole show premise is for... Because culture is so boring. Let me tell you how to have fun with the culture and stuff.
Like, God. Right. I was like, you'd probably be the last person I'd take advice from.
So he manages to get her to be on the show and they have to go to Thailand. And
yes.
I thought it was just a little weird that they're boarding the plane from the back. I've never been on a plane where that happens, but...
I haven't either. I know some airports do. I think, is it Anaheim? There's like a front and back entrance.
Oh, really?
But
I mean, I'm sure it does happen. I just was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but, it does feel wrong for like 98% of the other parts of the country where we're like, go in the front.
Yeah.
Say hi to the pilot.
Well, and he starts his like wooing of her by getting her up to first class, which... Honestly, I don't know if I would turn down a first class on a 13-hour flight.
No, especially...
No matter how creepy the person I was sitting next to was.
Right, especially because the person she's sitting next to is, like, a person who is like, I have to talk to you for the entire flight and spill my yogurt on you, which is gross.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so then I had to go to the bathroom. So I missed how she became on drugs, but I came back and I was like, is she tripping? What is happening?
So you remember so she gets on the plane and her friend that's going with her, they find out they're not sitting together. And so Bridget is sitting by the gross guy who's, you know, being annoying, but her friend is sitting by that hot guy.
Mm.
And so that hot guy actually ends up hanging out with her friend the whole time, and he has mushrooms. Somehow he snuck in mushrooms into Thailand, and so that's how she ends up being like, well, I'll take them, I'll try them, or whatever, and then she starts tripping and is in the ocean.
Okay, and is that guy the same guy who gives her, puts drugs in her thing?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so there's a whole possible seduction scene, which I was like, what are you doing? Are you insane? Why would you even contemplate, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean.
Plus, he's got like a mysteriously full tub with flowers on it. And I was like, what is happening?
Yes.
And then it quickly reveals, oh, he has a sex worker coming to his room.
Yes.
And you just happen to have been convenient for him.
Right. Right. Yeah. This is when Bridget's like, oh, you haven't changed at all. You're still a womanizer and not who I want to be with.
Yeah.
And it's like, duh, we knew that already.
Okay. Then we get to the honestly weirdest and most interesting part of the entire movie, which is she gets arrested for trying to smuggle drugs.
Yes.
Into a Thai prison, which the only other movie I know about a Thai prison is Broke Down Palace. Was that what that movie was called?
Danes.
Not a comedy.
I would imagine any movie about a prison should be a comedy.
It's very interesting juxtaposition to be like, oh, she's stuck in a Thai prison for potentially 20 years. And she's making them all sing Madonna songs.
Yeah, I mean, I always have a problem when like these movies that are like either like white Americans or white British people, they have to go to the jail. But and they're all in like this mass giant cell that holds like almost 100 people. It's very weird. And there's a lot of like really weird transphobic jokes because there's that whole thing about like the quote-unquote like ladyboys of Thailand and there's a lot of that, which is very eye-rolly to me. But somehow she is the most popular prisoner and gets them all to sing Madonna, and
it's like so crazy. There's so many women shoved into this room,
yes,
and they all speak English.
Yeah,
they all. Right. She charms them all with her tales of, I don't know what she's even talking to them about most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, there is one scene where they're all talking about like their hardships in life, and like clearly every other like Thai woman is like, I've experienced domestic violence, and right, I've experienced like, you know, misogyny, blah blah, and then she talks about hers and she has this realization that my problems haven't been that hard at all, I guess. It's like, okay. We could have realized that outside of a Thai prison, but okay.
Exactly. And yeah, she manages to stay remarkably clean for sleeping on the floor for like a week at least.
Right.
Okay, and then at the end, I knew from the beginning, obviously, Darcy is going to come save her. He's like,
of course,
a civil rights lawyer, whatever.
Yeah.
And he does. And at the end, she comes back because now they're all besties and gives them all presents. And I was like, this is just too much of a weird juxtaposition. I can't get behind this entire thing.
Well, it's like the, you know, Colin Firth's character, Darcy, is a human rights lawyer. Like, and instead of being like, we have to help these women, like they're innocent, whatever. She's like, I know how to help them. I'm just going to bring a duffel bag full of bras, chocolate, and magazines. And they're all going to love me for that.
She's like, got a duffel bag full of cigarettes.
Yeah, I would say that might get them more capital in prison. But like, you're not even going to be like, how can we get these women out? How can we help them? No.
Nope.
They just need bras and chocolate. Just
give them bras. That's what they want.
I was like, all right, whatever.
I said in this movie, she is Lydia and he is Darcy.
That's what I said. Oh my gosh. I was like, I feel like I'm watching if Lydia ended up with Darcy. Yeah. Cause that's who she, that's, this is how unhinged Bridget is in this movie, is that she has gone from being Elizabeth off kilter to Lydia.
Yeah. Yeah. Including he's still Darcy coming to save her, but
right.
You know, not tell anybody.
Exactly. Ay.
I said, what is wrong with this woman? I've asked myself like 3 times in this scene already. Okay, this is when she's going to confess her love to him.
Yes.
She's soaking wet. She confesses love to random strangers. Then she goes in where like a million of his colleagues are sitting there and says very inappropriate things. It's very disturbing. I mean, it's sweet, I guess, but it's also like, this just doesn't work. This is why this movie does not have rape reviews, because the quirkiness is just like, what is this? Insanity.
Yeah, like the because that whole thing of her walking in on like a meeting or whatever has already happened in the beginning when she thought he was cheating on her, but it turns out he was having a business meeting at his home with a bunch of people and she walked in, and that's funny. That's like, okay, you set that up, that makes sense. But this one, it was like, she's also like soaking wet, and she's soaking wet.
How do you go out in strappy sandals in the rain with no raincoat and stand in a puddle ankle deep, get smashed by water 2 times in a row? It's just, it's not cute.
Right. Well, and also like, you get splashed twice, go home and change. Like, it's not like
it's not that important.
He's not getting on a plane to move to somewhere remote. Like, he's at work.
Yeah.
So silly.
Okay, and then so that's it. Then we end at Christmas, which is like, mm-hmm, I assume at least six months later, because she's wearing summer clothes the entire time. So
it was just kind of like, it just didn't have that charm, and
yeah, it didn't have the charm
of the first one. And you know, honestly, I think the fact that the first one was like very Christmassy is what gave it a lot of charm too. And this one was hard. It was like 2% of the whole movie. The rest of it was like beachy summer. It just wasn't what I wanted.
I would say the best parts were really like Colin Firth and his sweet love for her despite herself. But I also wonder, because like, to sum up, I found it a little boring and very weird and kind of lacking in charm. But I also wonder if maybe the third one is better, because it is the original director back? And
I've not heard great things about the third
one. Okay, well, maybe we should just cut off Bridget Jones right here. If you've seen the third one, you think it gets better in the third one, let us know, because I'm not averse to watching another one. I was just so blown away by
how different
what this movie gave me.
I was very disappointed, and it just felt like the way sequels went around that time period, where it was like they didn't put in as much effort into the sequel as they did the first one, because like what I'm thinking of is the jokes are just they're so like low hanging fruit, and they don't age well at all. Like the whole storyline, the plot line of her mom and dad renewing their vows, and her mom is like, everything is going to be lavender. And if you think she's like, and I mean everything. And she opens the dressing room and the dad's in a lavender suit. And I think that's supposed to be a joke because he's a man wearing lavender, but who cares?
I thought it was because she had a bra and panties that were lavender.
Yeah, which, I mean, that doesn't seem so out of the norm.
I don't know. I agree. It was so weird. It's just like, it's not funny. It was just like, what?
Yeah, it just didn't. What I will say, though, about this movie is I feel like Renee Zellweger's British accent is so good.
It is good.
It's so good, and she's so convincing that I always forget. I'm like, oh, she's from Texas. Like, she's a Southern girl. So
I think they all were good acting-wise. I mean, I just think the character was unhinged, and I don't know if that was the acting's fault or if it was just the script. And I thought Colin Firth was good, and I even thought Hugh Grant was good. I mean, everybody was good at the acting portion.
It was
the story portion that was lacking to me.
Yeah, it just didn't have anything to hook you.
And so maybe the editing, like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but, you know, we gave it a shot. That's all we can say.
Yeah, so our Christmas movies were a little un-Christmassy this year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we never do anything terribly Christmassy, honestly.
That's true.
I think our first year we did a Eraserhead at Christmas. So.
You know, it's a family movie. There's a family in it.
Maybe we'll be better next year. We'll see.
We'll see.
We still have about 10 minutes. Let's talk about some of our favorite Christmas movies and which ones we've already seen or are planning on watching this Christmas. I'm sure we do this every year. And if you went back and listened to all of them and be like, they say the same thing every year. Or maybe they'd be like, why do they say different things every year?
And why do they just end up watching different things? I've already started thinking about Christmas movies. I started thinking about them probably like November 1st. And every year I want to watch White Christmas. That's probably one of my favorite Christmas movies, if not my favorite. It's got like the best songs.
Snow.
I love the music. I love the acting. Rosemary Clooney's the best. And I love, obviously,
you
the
know
sisters.
She sings both parts and Sisters.
I thought that technically her real life sister sang the parts that the other woman sings, because other woman technically wasn't a singer. She's
I could
a
be
dancer.
Wrong. I just heard this,
but it could be.
I was
her
like,
sisters.
No wonder she blends so well with herself.
Well, you know, she's such a great singer, and so I just love all the music in that movie, and it's just really fun dancing. It's just great.
That was my mom's favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's just like, that's to me is like, that's a timeless Christmas movie. Like, it doesn't try and do anything like inappropriate that would be considered it. As far as I can remember, who knows? Maybe
it
this
is
time,
a good one.
Yeah.
I think because it was my mom's favorite, I have like a lot of like emotion wrapped up around it, so I don't really tend to go for any of those old-timey ones, because they're all like, oh, it's too much like Christmas of the past.
Yeah.
I have watched Scrooged. I watched Scrooged.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a long time.
It's a little, maybe a little outdated, but it's still very funny.
Well, was it from the 90s or was it from the late 80s?
I think it's from the 90s.
Okay. I mean, it's Bill Murray, so at least you'll have a
fun
time.
Yeah, it's very funny. There's just a few times that I'm like, I don't think that would be done in the same way today.
Probably not. Probably not. That one has been coming up on lists when I've been looking for movies to watch. So I've been tempted to watch it just because it's been a long time. I don't really remember it.
It's really funny, though. I mean, Carol Kane is hilarious. And
I love her.
Did we watch any other Christmas movies?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if we've watched any Christmas movies just yet, like specifically, but we've definitely started talking about them. We've been watching the new season of Fargo, which is really great.
That's John Hamm in it, right?
Yes. Okay. For some reason, like the last name Hamm, I was like, that doesn't sound right, but it is John Hamm. It's Hamm. Yes.
It's Hamm.
Yes, and he's really, really good in it. But the most recent episode, I think, took place around Halloween. So they used the song from Nightmare Before Christmas. And I was like, oh, I really want to watch Nightmare Before Christmas. So that's definitely on our list.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
You know what movie I want to watch? It's not a Christmas movie, but there's definitely snow.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
I kind of want to watch Legend. I don't know. I love a fantasy Christmas. I love Doctor Who for Christmas. You know, I love, one of my favorites is The Hogfather. It's like a Terry Pratchett novel that's been made into a miniseries. Mm-hmm. And in his world, the Hogfather is like Santa Claus. But Santa Claus goes missing. And so the character of Death, who is personified throughout the series, he's a very funny character. He has to be the Hogfather for the Christmas. And Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey.
Yes.
She's in it. She's, I think, the granddaughter of Death. And there's like a whole tooth fairy thing. It's kind of scary and fantasy and fun. But I think it's definitely fine for most, you know, I think most kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it.
And of course, I love Emmett Otter.
Well, I mean, that's always...
You gotta have Muppets.
Yeah, you always have to have a Muppets, whether it's Emmett Otter or the Muppets Christmas movie.
Uh-huh.
Which is really great all the time.
One of my podcasts that I listen to and love every year on Patreon, they do on Twitch, they do a Muppet Christmas Carol watch along.
It's so good, and it's so funny. Is it Michael Caine? Is that who's in it?
I think so.
Some of the other podcasts I've listened to have talked about, like, what's so great about that movie is that it's like Muppets, so it's very silly, but Michael Caine is like very seriously acting in it, which makes it even funnier, like in a good way.
Uh-huh.
It's just so great. I love the Muppets.
Gotta be the straight man.
Exactly.
Of course.
And he's a Scrooge, so, you know. The straightest of them all.
It's one of the only Charles Dickens stories that I enjoy.
I'm not super familiar with other Charles Dickens ones, but...
I don't hate Charles Dickens. Don't come at me, Charles Dickens lovers. I'm sure you're out there.
The Charles Dickens hive.
I mean, I think it started when I read Great Expectations, which I do enjoy as a story, but I just did not enjoy reading it. And I think I'm not a huge... You know, if it's not got a little comedy or a little fantasy, I'm just not into
that makes sense.
Human suffering as or drama, whatever you call it.
I think that's totally reasonable. But yeah, I mean, I just love those. It's been a while since I've seen Miracle on 34th Street. I think it's 34th Street, right? So I have been contemplating. I was like, that's another classic I could revisit.
Which one, though?
The original, maybe? I've only seen the original, I think.
I think that there's two old ones. And then there's the one from like or at least my childhood with the girl who played Matilda. Did she play Matilda?
Oh,
she
played Matilda. Interesting. I don't think I've seen that one. I think I've only seen the really old one, like the black and white one.
Shirley Temple? Or is that my crazy brain putting things together?
I don't know. Let me see. I didn't know that there was more than one.
I think there is. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Miracle. Oh, the one from 1994. It has. I think it's Elizabeth Perkins.
As a little girl?
Oh, wait. No, you're right. It's Mara Wilson who plays Matilda.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, are it's there got
two
on
older
it
ones?
I think there's just one from 1947.
Okay.
That's the one I've seen.
I don't know.
It's old. But it's always, you know, it's a classic. And a lot of those classic movies, they're like really good lengths because they're like just maybe over an hour, which is nice. But yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely in the Christmas mood. I want to watch Christmas things and be Christmassy.
I want to be Christmassy. Yes. I got to decorate my house. It's still decorated for Halloween because I've been out of town.
Yeah, we haven't put
but
our
I got
tree up yet.
The kids are coming this year, so I got an armload of stockings to put on my chimney. And I got to get myself a tree. And I got to do a lot of stuff. I barely like decompressed from the traveling.
To prepare for decorating. Yeah, I was invited
to...
I'm
not going anywhere for a while.
That's true. I was invited to my mother's house to help decorate. So that might be a thing. But maybe I can just hold the baby the entire time and be like, I can't decorate. I'm so sorry.
Put that there.
Yeah.
Put that there.
I mean, you know, my favorite part of decorating is the tree, of course. Putting the ornaments on the tree. But, you know, everything else can just be done by other people.
I gotta get a tree. I think I'm gonna get a real one because I don't have a fake one and
you need one.
I need something. I haven't put up a tree in here at all in the past since I moved in, and my old tree I had to throw away. So I got nothing.
We've got a artificial tree. We talked about getting a real tree, but real trees are so expensive now. I don't remember them being like $70-$80.
I know. And artificial trees, you can get already lit, which is so much more convenient. Yes. But you got to have a place to store it, which is what I'm severely lacking in, is a place to store things.
Yeah, ours is a little smaller, so it was like easy just to stick it in a corner somewhere, like in a box. But we definitely want a new artificial tree if we're going to go artificial, but not this year. This year, we're sticking to, you know, old classics in our house.
It's not too late to find something. Maybe I'll go to like Lowe's or Home Depot or something, or even Target.
Yeah, last time I was at Target, they were doing some sales on some Christmas trees. So
too bad I don't have Costco, because I think they do those sorts of things.
I have been so tempted to get a Costco membership.
And then I have to drive to the town center.
No. If you're in Jacksonville, you know the struggle about the town center. You know the chaos and the dread.
Oh my God. Anywhere close. I haven't actually been there in forever.
I haven't either. And it's too much. And I hate driving. And I don't usually drive, but I just hate being in a traffic.
I hear you. Oh my God. This is not the greatest note to be ending the podcast on, but my way to Tennessee took 13 and a half hours.
No, that's too long.
It's supposed to be 9 hours, like maybe 10 if you stop a lot, but
that's
too
long.
Just stuck in traffic watching the time click up, like an hour, another hour.
No, that's too long. That's ridiculous. Teleportation needs to happen.
I'm very happy to be home.
I can imagine.
Teleportation does need to happen. Can we have that for Christmas, Santa Claus?
Yes.
Teleportation.
That's our one podcast wish.
Or autonomous flying vehicles. You know, I would deal with that.
Either or.
Much quicker.
Yes. A vehicle that I can take a nap in and safely get somewhere.
And not have to be on a plane.
Mm-hmm. Although I like flying. Oh, well, I don't like that.
Well,
part.
I mean, it would still fly. It would fly. But it would fly just you and your dog.
Yes, please.
The Jetsons future I always dreamed of.
One day we'll have it.
Well, why don't you write us? I'm always telling people to write us, and they never do. But if you want to write us with your favorite Christmas movies, maybe there's some that we don't even know about. Like, I bet a lot of people don't know about The Hogfather. And hopefully someone will check it out, because I really like it. Also, we're going to we're gonna have another episode next week, like Christmas celebration, and then we're gonna take a couple weeks off. So if you want to write us, you know, about things that you hope we do next year, or things that you want to look back on this year that you liked, or, you know, anything you want to talk about, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Let us know any sort of thoughts maybe you've had on past things that we've talked about, or even this episode. Tell us your highlights of your Thanksgiving, or, you know, tell me why I should like lima beans more.
Yes. Give us your argument pro lima bean.
Yes. Then we'll see how it goes.
We're open to liking things we don't like.
Yes.
That's been my resolution for the last few years, so I don't think I'll go back on that.
No, it's more of a slow burn anyways.
Yeah. Oh, well, now I have to go eat because I was starving at the beginning of this podcast and I'm really starving now.
Me too. Time to eat dinner. Yes. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Good night.
Bye. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can DM us on Instagram at Manners and Madness Pod, or you can DM us on Twitter at Manners Madness, or you could email us at Gmail using mannersandmadness@gmail.com. And if you would like to leave a voice message on our website, you can at mannersandmadness.com, and it's about a minute long.
Yes. And we would absolutely love it if you would give us a rating and review on Apple or Spotify or the podcast app of your choice. It really means a lot to us and helps get more people to listen to the podcast. Also, we have a donate button, which is on our website, mannersandmadness.com, as well.
Absolutely. Any help is very much appreciated.
Very much.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Good night.
Bye.